shine a stone. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Russian agency claims its machine can produce rain. What about that? The day after smoke from forest and fires blanketed Moscow, light rain cleared the air, and the government claimed the credit. That's exactly right. According to this news article reported in Kansas City Star, the Emergency Situations Ministry said it drew rain clouds to the smog-shrouded capital and created showers by switching on a cubed-shaped piece of equipment 3 feet on each side, that sits atop a ministry building. Yes, we did it, ministry spokesman Victor Beltsov said proudly of the drizzle that brought relief after several rainless weeks. He said the ministry kept the device working in an effort to repeat the initial success. It was the first time the ministry used the ionizer, a device developed by its research institute that cranks out electrically charged atoms. The institute's director, Mikhail Shakhramanemin, said the device, a metal cage crisscrossed by tungsten wire, emits a vertical flow of oxygen ions that stirs the air and raises humidity. He pointed to weather forecasts which had called for sunny, smoky skies as proof that this device, not nature, was responsible for the rain. Fires covered 1,326 acres around the capital, many underground in smoldering peat bogs. Firefighting efforts involved 3,500 people and four aircraft, which dropped 550 tons of water. The area around Moscow has registered its lowest rainfall in a century, Russian media reported. Many scientists question the value of this success since rainmaking has never been scientifically proven to be an economic advantage. But we sure know what the Bible says when it concerns weather and seasons, don't we? All you have to do is go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And the Bible says there that while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Well, as we consider the monies that are coming in to support terrorism around the world, you must understand and realize that most of the money, at least a lot of it, is a result of drug production. In Afghanistan, drug production and trafficking supports terrorism. The Afghan president called opium production an international menace that feeds terrorism and said his government would intensify efforts to rid the country of poppy crops. Drug production and trafficking goes hand in hand with terrorism. The money that is created from drugs feeds terrorism in Afghanistan and in the rest of the world. And the president of Afghanistan told reporters in Kabul that in recent years, Afghanistan became the world's biggest producer of the raw material for heroin. Then former Taliban government banned poppy cultivation in 2000, but Afghan farmers began to plant the crop again after the Taliban were ousted last year in a U.S.-led war. The Afghan government began its own nationwide eradication program, offering farmers cash for destroyed poppies. But UN experts said that the Afghan government had largely failed in its effort to destroy the crop. On the other hand, the government had defended its government's opium eradication efforts, saying the initial phase had encountered difficulties because farmers had planted the crop months before. Afghan government had said the key to eradication will be providing farmers with incentives and expanding options for crop replacement, but government incentives may not be enough. The government had offered a farmers $500 an acre of destroyed poppies, but the United Nations estimates farmers can earn as much as $6,400 per acre growing the plants. Well, isn't that really the problem? When the Bible talks about that the love of money is the root of all evil, yes, indeed, we find that to be true. Same thing with our tobacco farms in America. And seems like there would make a lot more money selling tobacco than what the government can compensate them for. But Herein lies the problem. The problem is you reap what you sow. And indeed, the governments of the world are realizing that since terrorism is an evil, it also has an evil foundation. And we got to get to the root of the evil, don't we? But the real concern would be that in order to control the flow of money into terrorism, one would have to be completely in control, which means now we have more signs of a one-world government. This is the design of what the Bible refers to, the Antichrist, and all of his mechanisms are coming into play right now. I do hope that if you're listening to my voice, you take heed that we are definitely living in the latter days. On the moral side of things, I have to report an immoral development, which is nothing new nowadays, but seems to be getting worse and worse. Well, in Switzerland, legal rights for sodomite couples. Voters in Switzerland's most populous state voted overwhelmingly to give same-sex pairs rights previously reserved for married couples. In a joint statement, three Swiss gay rights groups said it was the first time in history that a referendum had been called on legal rights for homosexual couples. By a 63-37% margin, the referendum in Zurich, Canton approved civil registration for gay and lesbian couples. They will have the same tax, inheritance, and Social Security benefits as married couples. Listen, folks, this is not gay rights. They ought to call it special prejudicial rights. And according to the scriptures, once again, the scriptures, the King James Bible, is our final authority. And this is what we know to be true. What does the Bible say about all of this? Well, according to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 28, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. But apparently many who listen to this broadcast, and I'm afraid many would probably not really care about this issue. They say, well, that's their problem in Switzerland. We don't have to worry about that in United States of America. Well, folks, usually what goes on in Europe and in Canada generally will happen in the United States. I give you an example that Toronto recently issued or started to issue gay marriage licenses. Toronto began issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples after an Ontario court ruled that federal government's definition of marriage as a union between a man and a woman was unconstitutional. If the ruling isn't appealed, the province of Ontario would be the first jurisdiction in North America to legalize gay marriage. Vermont and Quebec have allowed gay civil unions, but not full marriage. Canada's federal government, which is responsible for the marriage law, didn't appear to oppose the ruling. I think it's time for us to recognize that same-sex marriages are part of our society. Deputy Prime Minister John Manley said in Ottawa. Well, he's absolutely out of his mind because we are not ready for it, never was, and we're going to get the curse of God on our country. And you're going to get the curse of God on your country if you legalize this. This is an abomination to God. And so you see, we hear about this in Switzerland, and then we hear about it in Toronto, and no doubt going to hear about it in the United States of America. And we see it that it's also crept into the churches and the synagogues. The Bible says a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. According to an article in the New York Times, the New Hampshire Episcopalians elect a gay bishop. And yes, in Concord, New Hampshire, Episcopalians in the Diocese of New Hampshire yesterday elected as their leader the first openly gay bishop anywhere in the worldwide Anglican Communion. A step likely to unrest the church in America. Well, maybe their church, but not the true church of the living God, I can assure you that. And England, and deepened the disaffection of more conservative Anglican churches in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. The bishop-elect, the so-called Reverend Canon V. Gene Robinson, who had developed a loyal following for his work as assistant to the current bishop, was elected from among four candidates on the second round of balloting at St. Paul's Church. When the tally was announced, the clergy and lay delegates leaped to their feet and applauded as Robinson came to the front, stood before the altar rail, and embraced his two grown daughters, his son-in-law, and his partner. Oh, brother. He acknowledged that his election could precipitate outrage and division in his denomination. The Episcopal Church has 2.3 million members in the United States, while the Anglican Communion, a global association of churches that includes the Church of England, has about 79 million members. But he urged the voters to be kind and sensitive and gentle to the believers who will not understand what you've done here today. The world is hurting out there, and the Episcopal Church and the Anglican Communion worldwide are divided by lots of things, Robinson said to the delegates. Robinson said the rift could be healed if believers stayed focused on their faith in God and in the sacrament of communion, adding, "We can get through this if we keep coming to the altar rail." That would make any Bible believer want to just throw up. People come to the altar to get right with a holy God and repent of their sinfulness and wickedness. And here, this fella, who claims to be a bishop, is telling us that we need to acknowledge this sodomite marriage as a legitimate thing. And that it's okay to be a gay bishop. This is preposterous. This is incredible that this is happening. Well, it's not such a surprise when you consider that the Bible says that in the latter days there will be a falling away from the faith. And that's what we are hearing right now as I read this to you. The article goes on, his election enforces a showdown Episcopal Church in the United States, which has been debating its stance toward homosexuality for more than two decades. Well, there's nothing to debate about. The Bible is very clear that sodomy in any way, shape, or form is an abomination in the eyes of God. Robinson cannot be ordained as bishop until he is approved by the General Convention, which begins when they do their big meeting, of course, and the presiding Bishop of the Episcopal Church, Frank T. Criswold III, declined to comment on that development. But church members and observers say they anticipate that the decision here could be a problem for many Episcopalians. And for those that do not know the Episcopalian denomination, they have long departed from historic beliefs of the Word of God. But he goes on to say that they are saying, I'm going to be making some phone calls as soon as I get home to some people who are going to be upset about this, and said so at services last Sunday when this thing was reported. Said the so-called Reverend David P. Jones, rector of St. Paul's Church, co-chairman of the search committee for the next bishop. Anyway, he says, 10 years ago, I would not have been happy about this. Well, I can assure you one thing, folks. God has never been happy about it, never will, and he's going to judge it. But this guy goes on to say, because I would have felt is clearly contrary to the Bible, contrary to the traditions of the church, Jones said. It's all because I've experienced the ministry of this man and a couple of others that I think I was mistaken. Sounds like to me that this fella is a man pleaser and not a God pleaser. Church experts say that the Episcopal Church has had gay bishops before and does now, but none who have made their sexual orientation, and I might add, change orientation to perversion, known before being elected. The only gay bishop to disclose his sexuality to a broader audience before now is retired Bishop Otis Charles of Utah. He sent a letter to the church's House of Bishops in 1993 sharing his experience as a closeted gay churchman watching the bishops wrestle with the issue, said Jane Nunley, a staff member of Episcopal News Service. On Friday, the Daily Telegraph in London reported that leaders of the Church of England had known for years that Bishop Geoffrey John, a newly ordained bishop in the Diocese of Oxford, has been living with his gay partner for 25 years. As the clergy and the lay people stream out of the service that followed the election, many said they had favored Robinson because of his warmth, humanity, and theological orthodoxy. Well, that's orthodoxy. There is no orthodoxy because they are making the truth into a lie. But they also said they were aware that by casting their blue or yellow ballots, they had sent a shot from Concord that would be heard around the world. "We made history," said the Bayard Coolidge, retired software engineer and delegate from St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Pittsfield. "Everybody is going to be making a lot of the fact that he's gay, but that's not the point. The point is he's well qualified. He comes from within the diocese and has the admiration of parishioners and clergy here." Well, they are either outrageously, obnoxiously ignorant of what the Bible says, or they flatly don't care about what the Bible says. And I can assure you that they don't care what the Bible says. Now, the Bible says a lot of things about this. I've reported and I've read and quoted from the scriptures before regarding that sodomy is an abomination. But for those who had never heard it before, let it be known before I read what the Word of God says, that we don't hate these people. But God does hate this sin of sodomy. And it is not to be condoned in any way, shape, or form, or fashion. But as you see, a little leaven is the whole lump. And what's happening is that through the permissiveness of our society, and has crept into churches and even synagogues, believe it or not, and now the government and the hierarchy of these, well, many of them apostate denominations. This is the signs of the times. I want you to know from the Bible how disqualified this man is to be a bishop or a preacher or even a legitimate person who claims to be a Christian. First of all, Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, but the Bible says, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." See, according to the Bible, sodomy is not just an ordinary sin. It is a wicked, abominable sin against a holy God. And God says that these are sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Genesis 18, verse 20, and the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." Genesis 19, verse 24, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." Genesis chapter 19, verse 28, "And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace." Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind." It is an abomination. It is abomination. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." So according to the Bible, sodomy is a capital offense. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. I read that already, but I'll read it again. "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17, "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 23, "And that the whole land therefore is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth nor any grass growth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath." So from this scripture, you can see very clearly that God is angry. He's not only angry with the wicked every day, he's angry with the sodomites who are committing sodomy. He does not say that he hates them as individuals, but he says that he's angry because of such a great abomination before a holy God. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 12, "And he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made." And let me say that unless Switzerland, Canada, United States, and other countries in the world, unless they do something about this sodomy, the land in which they live and govern will be polluted, defiled spiritually and physically, and the judgment of God is about to come upon these nations. All you have to do is read the Bible and see what God did, even to his own chosen people, Israel, when sodomy was allowed to run rampant. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 7, and he break down the houses of the sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Lamentations 4, 6, for the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom that was overthrown as in a moment, and no hands stayed on her. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. God's saying any of these, whether they're effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, they will not inherit the kingdom of God, which tells us very dogmatically that if you are a sodomite, you will not go to heaven. Now, you can be saved from your wickedness, but you're going to have to repent and forsake your wicked way. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, knowing this, that the Lord is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. Isn't that what we're talking about? For manstealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Are you guilty of sodomy? Are you guilty of promoting sodomy? Are you guilty for having a permissive attitude towards sodomy? Well, in other words, if you're silent about it, you're guilty in promoting it. You're committing the sin of silence. And God says we ought to learn from the ensample of Sodom and Gomorrah. What did God do to them? He turned them into ashes and condemned them with an overthrow. Jude chapter 1, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Well, what about the United States? Is it becoming like this? Well, I believe it is. The United States is becoming much like Rome was, that had an epidemic of this sodomy problem. No wonder so many of them died of venereal disease. In Romans chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Well, what is vile affections? Vile, shameless, sensual indulgence, such as cannot now be named. The sodomy referred to here was common in the first century among the Romans, and is often spoken of without a sense of shame by their writers. It was prohibited neither by religion nor law, and was acknowledged without shame. Well, in verse 27, the Bible says, Romans chapter 1, verse 27, likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God giving them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. They say that sodomite couples are responsible couples, are people of integrity, people of a character. I'm afraid that's not true. It's a lie. It's a big lie. Because according to the Bible, these are the same people who are filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And folks, it's not because they do not know. It's not because they are ignorant. It's not because their heart does not condemn them. No. According to the Bible, in verse 32 here, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. news and documentation courtesy of Zion News International. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. Now, I'd like to continue to give you a challenge from the Word of God through the wonderful preaching of Dr. Johnny Jones. He was preaching a message started last broadcast on the title, What We Can Learn from the Old Testament Jew. And this will be the second part, so it will be a blessing to your heart as our dear brother preaches with the power of God.
By the marvelous grace of God, praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. I tell you what, we've come to pray. Say, listen, I preach hard against sin. I hate sin. I despise sin. Thank God I hate the television. Amen. I hate the internet. I don't even want a stinking one in my house. Amen. I hate sin every way I can look at it. Amen. And don't get mad at me. Praise God. But I remember what I was when He found me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, amen. And I remember what I've done since He found me.
Yeah,
and I remember how I had to learn a lot before I ever knew anything. Amen. And what we've come to the day and age, amen, if we're not careful, we want someone to get saved. We want to be baptized that day and join the church and know everything the pastor knows and live exactly like the preacher in one day. Amen.
Yeah.
It just don't happen.
Hallelujah
unto God. Praise His holy name. David cried out to God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. May I say to you, my friend, if we as believers have to have help from God on a daily basis, after we have been saved for years, I've been saved 40 years, amen, and I fought the devil about half this day, amen. I've been pastor one church for 28 years next month, praise God, and preaching longer than that, and I fought the devil over half my conscience awake day to day.
That's right.
I fought the devil while I sat in the pew and listened to preaching today.
Yeah, you're right.
Amen. We had hand-to-hand combat several times today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Glory be unto God, but thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory, amen. And thanks be unto God, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world, amen. Hallelujah unto God. Praise be unto God. Bless His name. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. We need God to work on us, friend.
Yeah.
We need God to do a work in our hearts. Amen. And in our spirits. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Renew a right spirit within me. Do you ever have to have that happen? It comes through repentance. It comes to acknowledgement. You know, five of the seven churches needed to repent in the book of Revelation. Amen. I'd say better than 5 out of 7, this outfit here today needs some repentance to be in. Yeah. Hallelujah. Verse number 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Hey, listen, Paul wasn't the first one to come out with being a castaway. David feared being a castaway. Oh, he wasn't thinking about losing his salvation, friend. He was talking about being shelved, never used of God again, amen. Never used of God again. And you can do some things that you can't do what you want to do for God afterwards. Matter of fact, David was not able to do what he wanted to do concerning building the temple, amen. But God did allow him to provide the finances and the materials for it, amen. Hallelujah unto God. Praise His holy name. Oh, listen, I would to God everybody had lived just like they ought to from the time they got saved. Matter of fact, I wish that nobody ever had a divorce. I wish that nobody ever backslid. I wish nobody ever stole anything, amen. I wish nobody ever cursed or swore or done wrong. But it just ain't that way. Amen? And so I got to preach to a bunch of folk, amen, that's not perfect. And I got to preach to a bunch of folk, praise God, that's struggling to be perfect. You say, well, I'm already perfect. Well, good, praise God. I'm glad you are, amen. Pray for all the rest that ain't, amen. Hallelujah to God. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Hallelujah to God. Listen, God Almighty can put revival in your soul, amen. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. How is it, preacher? How is it possible that we can be in the house of God and the people are shouting and praising God and I'm sitting there not doing nothing, amen? How is that, amen? How can folks be praising God? I tell you what, I've come to church with the smallest little bittiest thing in my spirit, the smallest little tiny thing. Hey, it don't take adultery. It don't take fornication. It doesn't take stealing, amen. It doesn't take some great big magnitude of sin. It just takes a little bitty thing, amen. And you'll come and sit in the house of God. I don't care if you're the preacher. I don't care if you're the pastor. I don't care if you're the evangelist. Yeah. I don't care who you are. And you can sit through the service and be as dead as a doornail, amen. Yeah. And you can holler amen and make a little noise and so nobody will know how dead you really are, amen. Right. But you know what you are. And until you repent, you don't have no joy. Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some folks say, if you repent, if you repent, if you repent, you'll never have to repent again. Hey, I got news for you, friend. That won't match up with the Scriptures, amen. That won't match up with the Scriptures. That won't match up with the doctrine of Jesus. He said, if a brother sinned against you and he comes to you and repent, he said, you forgive him. And he said, well, how many times? 7 times. He said, 7 times 70. That's what Jesus said. Now, you preach that to some crowd today, and they say, oh, you're a liberal, you're a modernist. I'm just going to tell you, buddy, I'm not going to water down what God gave me, amen, hallelujah. I've had to repent of a bad spirit 25 or 30 times an hour. I mean, repent of it, say, oh, God, I don't want this in my heart. I don't want this attitude. I don't want this disposition. And get that thing cleared up and feel like shouting 5 minutes, have it back. I'm just telling you, friend, I'm telling you what the Bible said. I'm telling you, God Almighty is able to help us, but we got to be honest. He wants truth in the inward parts. He wants us to get her clean. Amen, 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 hallelujah. And until we're honest, until we're willing to tell it like it is and put the thing down where it's at, glory to God, we got to tell what we really are, amen. There's a lot of sinners sitting in the pew, a lot of young believers sitting in the pew, and hear some of us preach and think, they don't need me ever trying to serve God. I can never be perfect like they are. They ain't never made a mistake. They ain't never been mad at nobody. They ain't never had no bad thoughts. They ain't never done nothing, amen. Hey, why don't we tell the thing like it is, amen? Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah unto God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Thank God for that free spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 And he said, listen, listen. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I tell you one reason we might be so dead in our soul winning, amen. We need a little revival ourselves. We need a little bit of reviving ourselves, amen. Hey, I've noticed in my lifetime as I've been preaching the gospel, I notice, amen, every time I get a little too holy for myself, I don't have much of a burden to be a soul winner. Every time I get a little self-righteous, every time I've done it, every time I've got to thinking I was a big shot, every time I lost my burden to win souls, every time I've done it. Every time I done it. And every time I done it, when I did go soul winning, I felt like I was dried up as shucks. Why is that? Hey, you can't do nothing for God until you get your spirit right. Amen. Amen. You think David quit going to church? I don't think he quit going to the tabernacle. I don't think he quit playing on the harp. I don't think he quit being interested in the things that was going on. But I tell you what he was dead in his spirit. He was not joyful. He was not praising God. He was not what he ought to be. Amen. Amen. Hey, amen. I got to hurry, brother. You keep the time now. I've got to hurry. Hallelujah. Listen. Deliver me from blood guiltness. We just about got to the place in there in a Baptist church. If you do some things, there's no hope for you. And I'm not advocating anything. But I am reading the Bible. Amen? Amen? Apostle Paul might have got some release from Psalm 51 a few times when he thought back about how he had mistreated the believers and arresting them and carrying them off to prison and sanctioning their death and the pearl of their destruction. God can deliver us from blood guiltness. Isn't that amazing? Oh, listen, friend, don't limit the grace of God. Don't limit the grace of God. Oh, yes. I want everybody to hit the ground running right. I want everybody to spit white. I want everybody to do right. Amen. But I want to tell you, I'm not going to subtract from the grace of God. I'm not going to take away. That's how I got saved. That's how I got saved. That's how I got saved. I'd be a fool to take away from the grace of God. I'd be a fool to take away from the grace of God. I would be a fool to take away from the grace of God. That's how I got in, glory to God. Oh, God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. I tell you who's righteous, we got the glory in, that's his righteousness.
That's right.
I don't get what anybody says. I realize, amen, that when you get saved, thank God he does a marvelous work in you. And I praise God for it. But I'm going to tell you something, I've been saved be 40 years this year. This Easter season, 40 years. Maybe 41. I have to sit back here and think about it a minute, amen. But anyway, in all this time, it's never been my righteousness that's got the job done. I've never laid down my head one time on my pillow thinking I've done everything I should have done that day. Never. Amen. Never. I sat down one time, read the New Testament through without stopping. You know what I felt when I got to the end of it? I fell on my face and weeping and broken. I didn't feel like I was a big shot. I fell broken. I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen anything in my righteousness that made me feel credible to stand before God. And you think I go to bed now and I've read three chapters, two chapters, one chapter? I feel like I've really done it?
Go ahead.
I mean, I prayed an hour, so what? Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And by the way, Moses fasted 80 days and 80 nights. Amen. And when God would have made out of him, I mean, if God would have come to me, I hope he wouldn't do it now, but if God had come to me a few years ago and said, I'll kill all the Turkey Ridge Baptist Church and make out of you a great church, I'd say, wipe them out, God. Can we get started on it today? I'm not trying to be funny now. I'm serious. Moses said, oh, no. Just destroy me also. I'm saying, it's by the grace of God you and I are here. It's by the grace of God we're saved. God's merciful. God's gracious. Preach it straight. Preach it clean. Amen. But when you get to the bottom line, it's the righteousness of God that's going to get us into heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Thank God. And then he goes on to say, listen real quickly. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. I'm going to tell you, it takes God to get praise out of a wooden vessel. earthen vessel. Amen. You ever try to do it on your own? I've tried a lot of times to do it on my own. I mean, I can amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. You know how it is. It bounces back, hits you in the forehead. Ain't nothing to lie about it, amen. When we really get down to where it's at, unless God, listen, I've said in church a few times, search my soul, and said, dear God, amen, amen, amen. Don't get so quiet, amen. Amen. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Listen, if it had been in the sacrifice, David could have said, I want 1,000 of the best lambs that can be found in Israel, and I want them brought now.
Yeah.
They could have been brought. That would have been no task for David.
Yeah,
no
right.
task.
You got it.
He could have done anything that the law required. He could have done anything the law required. He could have done anything the law required. Hey, anybody can come to church faithful. Anybody can come to Sunday school without missing. Anybody, amen, can come to prayer meeting. Anybody can attend every night of the revival meeting. Anybody can sing in the choir. Anybody can do all those things. I'm going to tell you what. It takes you getting right with God from the inside. Amen, amen, amen. Any woman can wear a dress all the time. Any man can keep his shirt on. Anybody can do that. Hey, cults do that. If that's what you base your righteousness on, friend, you're running very low, amen. Thank God. I believe in it. Hallelujah. I believe a woman ought to dress right. I mean a man ought to dress right. Amen. I don't believe you ought to, fool around the devil's den. I don't believe you ought to run around the crowd of dust. But I tell you, you better not let that be what you're thinking about concerning your greatness. Oh, no. That's elementary. I wish that's all my problems was. I wish all my problems was the TV and internet, a Playboy magazine, amen, or the movie house. I wish that was all my problem. My problem a lot deeper than that. My problem is a lot deeper than that. My problem is taking jealousy and envy and strife and malice and all sorts of things that's from within, amen, that you can't see and nobody else can see but God Almighty can see. Thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Sometimes we think, boy, if I just do a lot for the Lord, I'll give to missions, I'll do this, I'll give for these Bibles. Thank God you ought to give for the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, if you buy them all.
Yeah, amen.
That ain't going to do. That ain't going to do for your righteousness. Amen. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. I spent a lot of time in 40 years plus or whatever saying a lot of things to God that didn't amount to heal a man. Amen. Oh, you say you ought not to tell it. I'm just telling you how it is. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
I've prayed a many a prayer. I've prayed a many a time over my food, and the Holy Ghost said, why don't you just quit eating and pray again? Because that was worthless. There's no thankfulness. That's just a game you went through just now. I've spent an hour in prayer in the morning, and the Holy Ghost said, what did you do that for? All the time you was praying, you was hoping you could hurry and get done so you could get up and do something else. You know, somehow we got to come down to the real facts of the matter. It ain't what we do, even though what we do is important. And David will show you that in a minute. But it's what your heart is. Buddy, I got to work on mine 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And I tell you many times, I'm broken because I know that God knows what I know and a whole lot more. Oh, listen. Many times young folk, young Christian, young people don't understand how in the world they can even be saved because they got anger in their heart or envy in their heart or malice in their heart or they got an ought between somebody. Hey, the apostles had to deal with that. The apostles had to deal with that. And the apostles had to deal with that. You know, sometimes... And I'm not mocking anybody. Sometimes we say those who can get a prayer through, come to the altar, we probably ought to say nobody over 6 or 7 years old, loud. If we're going to base it on what we are. Now, we all can get a prayer through because if we follow the grace of God and what the Scripture says. But if we base it on works, friend, that ain't the way it's done. I've never come to the altar thinking, God, you have to answer my prayer. Because I know, you know, I'm in the upper group here. Matter of fact, I've left a pew many times when somebody was called on to be prayed for, and I said, Lord, I'm going down there because you invited me to come.
Yeah.
Not because evangelists invited me to come. You invited me to come. You said I could come boldly to the throne of grace.
Exactly.
And God, I don't deserve to come to the throne of grace.
You know that's right.
And I have no right to come to the throne of grace.
That's right. That's right.
But God, I'm coming because you invited me to come.
Right.
And I'm calling upon you because you said you'd be there. David said, if you think I go back to the house and I'm a compromiser, follow me home, come to our church. I'm not a compromiser.
You're right.
But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to beat my people to death and not tell them there's relief.
That's right.
I want them to repent, but I tell you, when they come above that altar, I want them to know they're white as snow.
That's right. Amen. That's exactly right, brother. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, we're so thankful for that good message by Dr. Johnny Jones on some things we can learn from an Old Testament Jew, in particular King David there, regarding the subject of repentance. And the question is, are you white as snow? You can be white as snow spiritually if you come through the cleansing power of the blood of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who took your place and paid the ransom for your soul. But you're going to have to receive it. It is a free gift. Somebody paid for that gift. It's not your works. No, it's the blood. It's the blood of Christ that paid that penalty through the righteousness of our Lord. You can have that free gift, but you're going to have to receive it by faith. And He's more than willing to give you eternal life. But you must come with a repentant heart, faith, repentance towards God, and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ.
Keep His covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R, S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.